I'm going to ask my sound room guys, would you guys help me out a little bit because my clicker is AWOL. So if you just help me out, we're going to go right to our pastor. Just go back to the picture there, first, if you would. And I just want to share with you guys our first slide, and I guess we'll go right down to the verse where we are today. We've been studying and kind of memorizing some verses of Scripture, so I want to get this one in your mind, and I want to ask it as a question. Is there anybody here who has some insurmountable challenges that you can think about in your life? Anybody got something going on today? You're not quite sure how it's going to work out? You know? Well, I want to share with you a verse that we need to be thinking about every day. And I'll throw this out. As we think about our prayer, you know, we as believers, you know, there's no formula of prayer that works. You know, we do pray in Jesus' name, and just saying it doesn't, you know, tickle God like a genie and make him do what he wants us to do. But what God asks us to do and think about, and I think about this as we pray each and every day, is to remember this for us. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I want to say to us, when you guys pray, you know what? Let's pray that way. We're praying to the one who can do it all and who can do greater than you or I could ever think. And that should be a way we kind of close out our prayer. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you can, and I know you will. And I want to move to our next slide this morning. Our series that we are working on is The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And we've been studying the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. We talked about a number of things. We talked last week about the challenge for us as a church, and we'll go right to that next slide. The mystery of God's, go backward in one if you would, the mystery of God's grace being revealed. You know, and the mystery was, right, that God took us, Jew and Gentile, and he put us all into one body. And remember that word Gentile last week, what did that mean? Remember, it means nations. So God said, you know, here's the Jews. They were God's chosen people, his instrument to bring Jesus into the world. And the idea of Gentile means nations. Remember, the Greek word is the word ethnos. And it just means everybody else. Remember, we look back on Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord told Abraham, he said, in you, what? All the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. And that's kind of where we laid that out. And God gave us a mission there. And a purpose, an eternal purpose that we read in the book of Ephesians. And that eternal purpose is that we're to make God's incredible wisdom and plan known to the principalities and powers as we take it to the world and expose them to the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to move over to where we are today. Now, here's an interesting question. That seems like a really tough task, doesn't it? Like, a lot of people don't want to hear about Jesus. They think their life is okay. They're just kind of overwhelmed with everything that's going on. The church has had some struggles as we've gone through COVID and the politics and all the issues. So how do we do that? And the answer is this, is that we need to pray with purpose. We need to pray with purpose. And by the way, that's not a new phenomenon. It's not a new problem. You know, the message that God gave to the disciples is not an easy message for everybody to digest. But it's the most important one that they need to, and they should. So I want to just share with us the eternal truth that I want to give you this morning. And you might want to jot this down, or it's there on your outline if you have it there already. But a purposeful life requires powerful prayer. Think about that. If we're going to accomplish what God wants us to do in our lives, we are not going to do it in our own power. Yeah, and someone was saying online this morning, they said, oh, you know, Pastor Gary must be overwhelmed. And everybody look up. He is. Right? And everybody else probably is too. Like we're just wrestling and struggling and trying to figure it all out. But you know what? God's not. And he has the power to do things through us broken clay pots and vessels that he wants to do. And he's just waiting for us to ask and to seek his face and to seek his power and to seek his will. And I just kind of shared, kind of I always give you the eternal truth, and then I kind of break it down. You know, accomplishing God's eternal purpose is impossible without his divine strength, power, and understanding. We are dependent on God. He is able, so we pray. Does that make sense? We're dependent on God in huge ways. We can't do a whole lot of stuff, but God's able to, and we pray to him, and we humble ourselves to his will. So we're going to go on to our first point this morning, which is this: worshipful invocation. You know, as a result of all the things that Paul said last time, we'll go down to the verse that kind of brings us into this. Paul says this, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory." And just kind of get this up. He lays it right out. Like, there's no unclarity here. There's no, I should say, lack of clarity here in this particular passage. He says, "For this reason, I pray." This is why I pray. And the reason, and I want to just drop down quickly to the introduction slide, if you guys would. Here's the deal. Why is this passage here? Why is Paul talking about his prayer? Why does he tell us how he prays? Well, Paul's trying to teach the church here at Ephesus, as the church is growing and progressing. Remember, the Ephesian church is mostly Gentile Christians, or all the rest of the nations. And he has defined them this mystery, this new thing, that the church is saved by grace with all people, Jews and Gentiles, and they're all in the same body. And remember, we talked about this last week. I want you guys to write this word down. The body of Christ is a greenhouse. You know, we got a greenhouse. We built there in the garden this year. A whole bunch of people said it's going to fall down the first week. It's still there. And by the way, the results of the greenhouse, you know, planting those little seeds in little trays and little pots in the dirt all the way back in March when it was too cold to be out there. Now it's too hot to be out there, right? They've turned out, and if you look in the foyer there today, right, there's squash this long. There's tomatoes that are red. There's eggplants that are there. There's all sorts of stuff. There's hot peppers. There's peppers. What am I missing, Mary? What else is out there? There's green pepper. And there's okra. You know, you don't have to go to Cracker Barrel today. Just get the okra right here. Right, it's here. But I say all that to say this: all that stuff developed in the greenhouse. It was a climate of high humidity and heat that made that thing germinate and made it grow and made it strong. The Church of Jesus Christ is that, right? It's this thing where God brings together unlike things, people who are a mess with all of their sin and all of their problems. He saves them through faith in Jesus Christ and the incredible power of the Holy Spirit. And then he puts us together to meld us together, to change us so that we become more like his son. When we sin against each other, we learn how to forgive. And by the way, it happens in the body, doesn't it? The body is this place where it's like a family. Everything good happens here, and everybody look up. So does everything bad. And we don't cast each other off. We draw each other in because we all need to grow and we all need to be changed. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. Is it easy to do that in church? Is it easy to embrace the unlovable? Is it easy to deal with somebody who sins? Is it easy to forgive? Is it easy to try to get this message of the gospel out to people? Is that easy? It's tough. Sometimes we want to fight. We want to run. We want to do all those things. And that's why this passage is here, because Paul understands how tough it is. He says, "God's given the church an eternal purpose. Make the manifold wisdom of God known." Make the manifold wisdom of God known, that the church is Jew and Gentile, Jew and all the nations of the earth, in the power of the Holy Spirit as one, accomplishing God's purpose in a hostile world, and sometimes with hostility even in the body. That's a tough job, isn't it? And that's why he says, you know what? It's humanly impossible. Everybody look up. Church is humanly impossible. The misses of getting the gospel out is humanly impossible. So what do we got to do? We got to look up to God and say, God, help us do it. And notice what Paul prays about. So Paul prays. And here's some of the challenges. And he prays for strength. You know what? Everybody look up. We're weak. And I thought some of you guys would say, you know, I work out. So do I. But the challenge is, you know what? The issue in church isn't how much can you bench press or how much can you pick up typically. By the way, some of you guys, we're going to test you after church and see what you got. We're going to move some furniture today at church, so we need that physical strength. But you know, the issue of church for us isn't the physical strength so much, other than when we set up for VBS or do a couple of hard things. But the issue for us is that strength on the inside. It's the strength that holds us together, the glue that keeps us here and keeps us working together and loving each other. That's the strength he's talking about. So the weakness that Paul is praying for is, man, we got to have that strength on the inside. And by the way, you all know this, even in our families, don't we need a lot of strength on the inside? And then he says, you know, I want you guys to have wisdom about who I am, about who you are, and about what needs to be done, and how to look at God's love, and how to actually copy that and use that in the world. We need wisdom. We need wherewithal. The idea of that is, you know what, we want to understand God's love and God's presence, and we want to experience it deeper. You know, and we're going to have warfare. Cindy put that slide in, she was reading my mind. You know what? And we'll get to that deeply when we get to chapter 6. But it's a war out there. And everybody look up. Sometimes it's a war in here. And everybody look up one more time, really importantly. You know where the war really is? It's right in here. And it's right in here. You know, it's not so much here or here. It's right in here. When I look at someone or I look at something, and man, I see red. And you do too. The war is going on. The battle is just raging. And that's why Paul says we need to pray, because we can't do this without God. And I want to slide over to the next slide. And by the way, you guys are doing a great job up there. You're better at clicking it than I am. So I appreciate you guys. And they're helping me get the message, you know, keep it moving, keep it on time. So that's good. We're going to have to double their pay in the sound room today. So notice we kind of want to dig in. So he says, Paul says, for this reason, right, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the points. Just drop right on down, boys, to the next points. Here's what I want you guys to take out of this worshipful invocation, the beginning of his prayer. So Paul lays out the reason. He talks about the position of the body as he prays, and he talks about who we're going to pray to. And I want you guys to get a hold of this. The reason we pray is that we want to accomplish God's eternal purpose that he mentions in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. And that purpose is living as a reproducing follower of Jesus, knowing him and making him known. That's the reason. That's why we got to pray, because it can't be done. Everybody write this down. It cannot be done without God. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. Don't we try sometimes? You know, a lot of us have a lot of resilience. That's my big word today, resilience. We have a lot of resilience. We may have a lot of energy. You know, a lot of us were ADD. I'm one of them, before they knew what that was. Right? That all is good. Like, that can be good. You know, it can be bad. You know, we have energy to do stuff. But guess what? I need God when it comes to spiritual change. I need God when it comes to ministering to hearts. I need God when I want to run out the other door. I need God. I need that. I need him for that strength. So the reason is this job is tough. And everybody look up. Can I get an amen? Church is tough. Amen? You know, as we've gone through the last 15 months, church is tough, man. It's tough. You know, we did it online. We did it, you know, Zoom. We did this. We did that. Technology is tough. There's obstacles around every corner. People are tough. People are frustrated. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Right? Church is tough. That's the reason we got to pray. If it wasn't, it was tough before, and it got a little worse. So we understand that. Notice the position he says. He says, I bow my knees. And you know what? And, we're a little bit different in our church. If you go to some churches, you know, Roman Catholic churches, other churches, they have that little thing that folds out under the pew in front of you so you can get down on your knees and bow. I'm not even sure in these pews, can you get down on your knees between these pews? I'm not asking you to try because we don't want to call the emergency squad or anything today, okay? But think about that. It's kind of tough to do in our churches. We get a lot of, we're like the airline. We get a lot of seats in a small area, right? You know, we're getting you in here. But he says, I bow my knees. And I want us to understand, he's not just talking about the physical position or the posture of bowing our knees. You know, and by the way, this idea of positioning in Scripture is all over the place. He tells us we need to stand fast. Right? We need to fight. But that starts from this position of bowing our knees. And I want you guys to write this down. You know what bowing our knees really has the idea means? It really means that we are submitting our hearts and our will to God's will. And that's a little different, isn't it? You know, we all have an idea of what we want God to do. How many people have some ideas on what you'd like God to do? Do you have the when in mind too? Right, we do, right? Here's an interesting question. Have you been disappointed about God's will or God's when? Same hands, right? We struggle with that. But the idea is we go to God and we say, God, I bow my knees to you. This job is hard, but you know, I know you have the power. I know you can do it. I pray that you give me that strength on the inside to wait on you to carry it out. So the position, we bow our hearts, we bow our wills when we bow our knees. And I want to say one other thing about that. That position of bowing is a position of worship. Everybody get this in your mind. You look up. You know what? God really is way up there, and we really are way down here, and we really can't do anything without him. And I appreciate Cindy gave us Psalm 55 in our kind of like our worship time. I want you guys to take a minute. Just turn to Psalm 62. And by the way, if you Google this, you can look this up or you look it up in Bible software or whatever. But if you look up how many places in Scripture that tell us we're dependent on God, it would be an awful lot. So just turn to Psalm 62 for just a quick minute this morning. It just gives us a little bit of a sense, you know, as we bow our knees. We need God. We are dependent. We are destitute. We need God. And look at Psalm 62. It says these words. It says, truly my soul silently waits for God. And check this out. From him comes my salvation. And listen to his last next phrase. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Skip down to verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And I just skip down. Look at verse 9. It says, surely men of low degree are a vapor. And I want to get this in our minds. You know, vapors don't have a lot of ability to do stuff. They're fleeting. They come, they go. They're weak. They're strong at times. But God is always there. God is always stable. He's the one we turn to. He's the one we bow down to. He is the one where we find our power. You know, it's not us. You know, all the other things, it's great to work out. It's great to take care of yourself. It's great to be strong. We need strong people physically in church too. But man, do we need strong spiritual people who serve God out of his power. And that's what he's trying to get across to us. The last thing that we'll look at just briefly, and by the way, I'm not going to be able to say everything about this passage today. We're going to go to the Lord's table. We're getting ready for Bible school. But this is a great foundational passage for the week. I don't know what's happening. I don't know the weather. I don't know who's going to be able to really be here. They all signed up. But I know God's going to show up. I know God's going to show up. So notice the person of God. You know, it says, he's the original, he's the creator, he's the sustainer, he's the savior. And it says in this passage, it says, if you go back to Ephesians, He's the one that says that that everything on heaven and earth is named after him. And the point I want to get a hold of, you know, if you're a father, how many fathers are here today? Father, right? God's the original. He set the mold. He set the pattern. You know, all fathers really follow in his footsteps. He's the one, he created us. He sustains everything. You know, just imagine this for a second. He's the one who holds the whole world together. Everybody look up. How many people, anybody a little scared on Thursday evening this week? Anybody have any experiences Thursday evening? I drove through Millbrook, by the way, on Friday, and I saw trees everywhere. It was our anniversary was Friday, so we took a day out, went down to the shore. We're driving on Route 72, little spot, everything knocked down, wires, trees everywhere. I don't know if you guys heard, over on Long Beach Island, right by the lighthouse, houses devastated. It's called High Bar Harbor. That was our destination. My brother, he texted me on the way down. He said, I know it's your anniversary. I know you guys like to come down and ride bikes over that time sometimes, but I just want to let you know a tornado hit over there last night. And he lives down in Manahawkin area. But, man, it was kind of scary, right? What could happen? And by the way, you saw Bucks County. And by the way, anybody seen the Faulkner dealership? By the way, Faulkner is a believer in Christ. But you see his dealership? Nothing left. Right, nothing left over in Trevose. Unbelievable. People had, trailer parks. Oh, I saw pictures last night of the harbor down by LBI. Boats turned over, cars, upside down, roofs gone. Right, and these are houses that we all would be like dreaming to have, like million-dollar homes, gone. You know, we need God because he's the one that holds it all together. You know, and praise God, the tornado didn't visit Longwood Drive because that's where my house is. You know, but God holds it all together. God keeps us safe. And praise God, there were three people seriously injured, I understand, down at the shore. But God kept a whole lot of people safe. And that's why we go to him. He's the one. I want to share with you quickly the powerful petitions that Paul asked. You know, we'll go right on down right to it this morning. And I want you to jot these down for us. Just take a minute. They're going to come up on the screen. Notice what Paul prays for. You know, in the scriptures we talk about, Jesus gave us his prayer, not a high priestly prayer. He gave us that too in John 17. But, we have the Lord's Prayer that told us, we need to be worshipful, adoration. We need to confess our sins. We need to be thankful. And then we need to give God all our supplications. But as Paul prays here in the midst of the battle, here's what he prays for. He says, God, give me inner strength. Give me an indwelt heart. And by the way, you could write down these words next to it. Strength is already there. But when you think about an indwelt heart, God, give me depth. He prays that we would have comprehension and apprehension, that we would know Jesus and experience him in a deep relationship. And he prays that we would be filled with the fullness of who God is. This abiding relationship and maturity is what he's looking for. And I just take a look at the passage. We'll hop over to the next slide. Look at the passage for a minute this morning. Here's Paul's prayer. He says, I want you to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And again, we kind of alluded to that just a little bit ago. But by God's spirit, our spirit can be strengthened. And we need it. You know, if you're a mom or a dad or a grandmom, man, just think about it. As you raise your family, the times that you needed strength to keep it together. You know, we're kind of finding out as our kids grow up, we even need more. It was easy when they were little. We could kind of control things more, we thought. Key word, we thought. But now we can't. Now we know we can't, and it's even less. Right? And the challenge I just want to challenge us with is, man, we need to be strengthened in our spirit by his spirit in our inner being. You know, we need to have better vision. We need to have better understanding. We need God to really give us that strength of character as we deal with stuff. Many times we just want to give up. We want to quit. We become down, depressed. Man, life can be tough. We need that. The second thing that he says here, and I just want to share a scripture with that. here's the key thing I want you guys to get focused on. A lot of times it's good to pray for the physical things. And we all prayed that God would, you know, bring Gloria heal her hip. Lots of cancer issues. We want the physical. Those are things that we should pray for. In fact, we're commanded to take everything to God in prayer. But his focus as we are in the battle is on the inner man. You know, and as we look at, and we won't turn to them for sake of time this morning, but Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, they're all focusing on developing the inside and giving that strength on the inside to be who God wants us to be in the midst of the battle. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit came, right, he came and he gave what? Power. Authority, power, energy, strength. And that's what we're looking for as he prays. He prays that our hearts would be indwelt by Christ. I just want to read the passage here. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I want you to get this idea for a second. And by the way, this whole, all these kind of 4 points take us to that. You see that line at the bottom? What does that say? I want you to read that for me. Leave it right there, guys. You tricked us. There you go. Go back to the points. There it is. What's it say at the bottom? Read it out loud. Say that again. We can't go high unless we go deep first. And pop to the next slide for a minute, guys, and we'll come back. Go to the next slide, gentlemen. See that great big church? I was in New York yesterday. That's over in Brooklyn. Can you imagine just for a second how deep the foundation has to be to hold that thing up? Now, throw this out to us. As we live the Christian life and all the war that's going on above us, around us, we got to have a depth of our foundation. We have to know God more deeply. We have to trust him more intimately. We have to just understand his word better so that we have this rock that we can stand on. You know, the psalmist said that, you only are my rock. Right? And those are good words, and they're powerful words, and they're picturesque words, but I got to know that the rock is real, and the rock is going to be there, and the rock is going to be stable, and the rock is something I can depend on. And I find that out. You know, the Bible says this. It says, faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the word of God. Like, I need to really know that in the depths of my soul, not just at the top of my head. And that's that growth has to happen. That's what he's praying for. God, solidify me in those truths that I know, in those verses that I learned as a kid maybe and didn't always understand them. Solidify that in me so it's real and dependable, and in the midst of my storm, I'm okay. And that's what he's trying to get across. And guys, if you would just go back one slide to those points, thank you very much. That's what he's trying to get at. I want Christ to dwell deeply in you, deeply. You know, Bible, I gave a reference there. Colossians 3:16 says that. In Colossians, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Like, make its home in you. And just imagine if Jesus' home is your heart and all that, you know, you're getting to know Jesus. He's impacting you, influencing you. Like, imagine that outflow of what that looks like. And that's what he's trying to get across to us here. And then the third point I just want to hit on very quickly is this idea of comprehension and apprehension. Look what he says. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love. And the idea of being rooted, you know, we heard there's kind of a neat phrase, right? We're supposed to give our kids roots and then ultimately give them wings, right? But what he's saying right here is he says, I want you guys to be so rooted and anchored in the love of Christ so that, and look what he says, we have this comprehensive knowledge and experience of the love of God. And I like his phrase, look how he says it, so that we as saints might be able to comprehend what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And I want to throw this out. You know, people have, they use this phrase, what would Jesus do? And I want to put that in the context of loving someone else. What would Jesus do? When I begin to grasp the length, width, height of God's love for me, even though I'm a wicked sinner and a real mess and a real project and a real problem, now I can begin to model that love as I give it to others. And he wants us to get that. And then think about that in the church. You know, in the church, a lot of times and by the way, this word, there's always a challenge. Comparison is always problematic. You know, we look at others and go, well, they should have did this. They should know this. You know, the comparison always creates problems and tension because we go, well, I wouldn't do that. But the idea here is that we want to look at the model Jesus. And we want to understand it fully. We want him to just impact us so much in our understanding and our experience of living with him that it just flows out from us and we can truly be the church and love others in it and outside that we're trying to get in. And that's his point. Then he says this word, filled with the fullness of God, a deep abiding relationship and maturity. Imagine that, you know, everything of God is flowing through you. I'll stop thinking about that for a minute. Like that fruit of the Spirit, that patience, that kindness, that gentleness, that love, that peace, that joy, that is just, imagine that's just all in you. That's what he's saying. Pray for that. Pray for that fruit. You know, it says this in the book of Timothy. It talks about like how the farmer waits, you know, and we wait with that patience for growth, you know. God wants that harvest to come in our souls, filled with the fullness of God. And God wants us to pray for that, to seek after that. You know, and I just challenge us, right? We can't go higher unless we go deeper. And it's something we have to kind of get our mitts around. We got to understand that we as a church are never going to deal with harder things unless we get deeper into the Lord first. I'm going to throw this out. Look up for a second. You know, many people have said that about the church and the Western world and America in specific. They said the church is this. The church is a mile wide, but it's only an inch. And let me explain how that works. When you're a mile wide and an inch deep, when the problem comes, it all falls apart. It all falls apart. And I'm not trying to condemn you or condemn the church or condemn me even, but you know what? That's true. Like, we got to get deeper. You know, I remember this a little while back, and as I mentioned, we went to New York yesterday and saw my son Phil. You know, it was a chance to be with him, and we celebrated his birthday and our anniversary and all that. But I remember a couple years ago, we went where he went to school at FIT. And there, right along, anybody know where the Lincoln Tunnel is? Like all these areas that were factory areas and, you know, really, you know, huge in their day are now all becoming residential, huge, expensive properties, apartments and homes to live in, right, condominiums. And it was amazing. Right near where his dorm was, they were building this incredible, incredible residence. And they were literally down into the ground like five stories before they began to build up. I kind of peered in. They had like the chain link fence around it. And they had covered it over with, you know, plastic and wood so that I guess you couldn't look in too good. But I was like, that's amazing. And if you look down, they were so far down. It was like, you know, you're looking up at a building. You're looking down in the ground. This prayer that Paul's saying is, that's how God wants us to be. We got to get deep. You know, COVID might have kind of tested that out a little bit. COVID, the politics, the prejudices, all the things that we're wrestling with in our country, right? And the church is struggling. We're struggling. I'm struggling. You're struggling, right, with some of these things. And maybe it's kind of exposing that we need to go to God and say, God, deepen me, deepen me, deepen me, because it's not deep enough. You know, how many folks have had trees blow over in your backyard? We saw, you know, this tornado thing that just occurred. You know, they said this, by the way, Pennsylvania never has an E3 tornado. It's like this huge, powerful tornado. It just had one. And the trees that stayed in the ground, and by the way, pray for my wife. She's a scaredy cat. We have this giant, we actually have two of them, big oak trees in our backyard. And every time we have a storm, she's like, man, I hope they don't fall on the house. And and every time we have a storm, she's thinking about calling the tree cutter the next day to cut those things down, you know. But the issue is these trees, by the way, these trees have been there longer than we've been there. And they're strong. And they blow and they sway and they do all those things in the storm, but they haven't gone down yet, praise God. And I share, my mom and dad are here. Years back, I remember having to be, you know, when you're a kid, something bad happens in your yard, suddenly you're a part of it. We had a willow tree in our backyard. Remember that willow tree? And one day, you know what happened? Willow trees don't have real deep roots. Bam, it was over. And bam, Keith and Gary out with Dad cutting up this crazy tree. Deep roots are the key. And he's praying here. His pastor says, you know what? You guys, you need to get some deep roots. You need to pray that way. You need to pray that God would just give you that depth in all of these areas. And that's his focus. And I want to move to the next slide. We got to kind of wrap this up. But this is good for us. We need that so much today. And you guys can go right past that one if you would. Next slide. Just advance it there, Sam, if you would there. Please, sir. All right. Hopeful benediction. And by the way, this is the passage right here. Yeah, and deacons, if you're getting ready, we'll do that in a second. But notice this hopeful benediction. Because we're not praying to somebody who might be able to do that. We're not praying to somebody, like us, who's human, who's kind of a mess. We're not praying to anyone like that. We are praying to the living God. And look what he says, now to him, and he means God. It's capitalized. That kind of helps us understand it. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at the points real quick. Check out what he says. To him. And write down this word. This God, that's our God, is superlative. And by the way, superlative is as high as you can go. You maybe you graduated college and you had honors, cum laude, right? Maybe you had higher honors, magna cum laude. Or maybe you had highest honors, summa cum laude, God summa. He's everything. He is all powerful. He is all able. He is the superlative God. And he's the one that keeps me and you in the game when we don't know how we're going to stay. He's the one who can fix what is hopelessly broken on earth. He's the one that can give life when it doesn't make sense. He's the one that can do all those things. And notice, by the way, Warren Wiersbe kind of gave these points under B. He can do all. He's above all. He's abundantly above all. He's exceedingly abundantly above all. He is superlative, you know, in a sense. You know, if you looked in the dictionary for superlative, if we could make a picture of God, it ought to be there, because he is superlative. And he does all these things for his glory. So when we pray, there is no problem too big. There is no ministry too tough. There is no person who is unsavable. There is no person who is unchangeable. And everybody look up for a second. Let me see your eyes. Do you know anybody who you think is unchangeable? Do you know anybody you think unsavable? Is there any problem that you're looking at, you're just saying, it's impossible? Probably all of us were going, yep, I know that feeling. But we're taking it to the one who can change everything in a heartbeat. And that's what we're talking about. Now I'm going to ask a special person to come up. About a week ago, we had this real crisis at First Baptist Church in the evening. And Priscilla Johnson's going to come and just describe that briefly for us this morning. And by the way, as we go on in time, we're going to hear some more testimonies about, you know, God's real and God's active right now. I like people to say, look at God. And Priscilla's going to tell us to look at God as she shares a situation that we all just walked through just the other day. She's going to be briefer than the preacher, but she's going to touch your heart and move it on.
Praise the Lord.
When I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving my Alice.
Hallelujah. God is good. I worked on that last night, learned the seventh shift, where God is going to give me utterance to speak of his goodness. On behalf of my family, I want to say a big thank you for coming out on July 22nd to help us find our mom. First Baptist family, our librarian community, from the smallest, I heard Sammy and Cassia in the car. Sammy was directing Cassia where to go. To my son Christopher, who I was just crying in our car. I'm driving and crying, I'm bubbling, and he's encouraging me. To those who pray, to those who give us the hugs, the kisses, your encouragement. I heard Ed saying, like going back now, he's saying, she'll be found, she'll be okay, she'll be saved. To God be the glory. Before my mom went missing a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to add a story there because that's how God ministered to us. God brought attention to one of my patients. My husband was stationed in North Carolina. I worked then as a home health aide. He assigned me to this patient called Miss Annie. I went to Miss Annie's house to work that day. By almost the end of my shift, or half my shift, she said, Miss, I have a guest in this house. I'm like, what guest? She said, I have a little guest crawling around this house. Miss Annie lived alone, helpless. She had a snake in the house. I like, do you have a family? She said, yes. I have my son. He's a truck driver. He comes every 2 weeks. The animal control cannot help me, so I feel helpless. Miss Annie, so I'm like, how you managing it? She brought her Bible to me and said, this is what I read. I read my Bible, I pray, and I go to bed peacefully, trusting the protection and power of God. God kept ministering that story to me every time, like, I would just go back to Miss Annie's story. Not knowing a couple of weeks, my mom would be lost. My mom has Alzheimer's, dementia, and things are not looking well for her. But to God be the glory. I left my mom having dinner on Thursday, on the 22nd, and I took Grace for her tennis practice. About the time we're about to leave from practice, my husband called and asked me, is mom with you? I said, no, I left her eating dinner. He said, well, she's not here. I ran the house, ran to my house, Jesus all confused. I met him. We all driving by, just the both of us, like driving to the nearest street to see, like, if we can even find mom. To Noelville, we cannot find mom. I drove down to my aunt's house, nobody. Now I'm bubbling. I called the police, and I came back just driving around. I called my sister, Frida. I said, Mom cannot be found. She drove from there ranch. She joined us to find Mom. We're driving all the around, back and forth. It's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it's getting dark. Mom cannot be found around. Then I drove by Miss Barbara's house, but she doesn't live far from me. I said, Miss Barbara, just pray for me. My mom is lost. I can't find her. We can't find her. Miss Barbara, I think, called Cassia. Then Cassia called her dad, and the call chain just went. Called Nadine's mom, called Natalie, and the call just went everywhere. Everybody put together, came to help find my mom. To cut a long story short, we all drove all night. My son Chris in the car, Faye watching the little ones, Pastor Gary, everybody, Ed, like everybody, whoever could come that night to find my mom, we could not find her. So it was the police, my neighbors, we couldn't find my mom. By 1 o'clock, the K-9 dog came to see if they could sniff her around, no avail. So that's the last person we saw down there, like around 2 o'clock. He said, ma'am, we tried. We cannot find her. Tomorrow morning, we'll start the search again. I closed the door. There's a cross on my wall. I knelt before that cross and said, God, please help me find my mother. I dozed a little bit to bed. 5:30, my sister and I were on it. They had broken. We were in the forest. By Bookbinder Church, we're looking everywhere for mom. There's no mom. So the plan now was to go from house to house to look around because we're all just driving. But go from house to house to ask families to see if they saw this lady around. We printed the flyers out. Dora had joined. Dora and Eunice joined my sister that morning, like around 6 o'clock. They started from Book Lawn, and later on, we all met at my house. So I took some of the flyers, and I said, I'm going to start from the back end. So you guys can start from wherever, but I'm going to start from the back end. I came out of my house, make a left turn, two houses down. The Holy Spirit said, give one to this lady. But I said, I'm going to start from that end. He said, give her one. I gave her the flyer. She went in the house. She said, well, I don't live here, but I cannot see my friend. But I will give her the flyer. I said, yeah, you can give her the flyer. And I went the next street to go park my car and start from house to house. The second house that I went to, did not even answer. So I make my way to the third house. The phone call came. We found her. We found her. Oh, she's here. Is she alive? I just said, I'm crying. At the same time, I'm happy because I knew where I gave the lady the flyer. She said, you just talk to me. I went in there. I drove by the house. I went there. I saw my mom sitting down comfortably on her way. And I gave her the biggest hug. Guess what? I just said, God, thank you. I just like crying. And she just started crying too. God protected my mom that night. He put his arms around her. People asked, well, was there anybody in the house? Yes, there was someone in the house. The lady who owned the house was upstairs. She's handicapped. She used the stair lifts to go up and down. So she was up all night. So she was surprised that her friend who walked in the house, actually, let me just track back. Her friend walked in the house and saw my mom and then called me. And then she told her friend upstairs that here's a lady that everybody's looking for. There she is. The friend came downstairs, surprised to see me and my mom hugging and crying, but just like, what's going on? She said, I heard a sniffle last night, but I thought it was my sister who has the key to my house in here. Why did she even get here? The back door was locked. The front door was locked. How did my mom get in there? I don't know. My mom, God kept my mom saved, and he protected her. Pastor Gary just spoke. He just spoke, God is faithful. God is able. I remember that night, I drove around the church 7 times and said, God, help me find my mom. Yet, he didn't bring her right away, but he brought her. Let's trust God in the process, because he's able. He's able to do for us what we even ask or imagine. We ask my mom to be found. We thought she was going to be in somebody's backyard, like cold, dirty, probably like, you know, coming from out of the forest. But God protected her in a nice, warm home. To God be the glory.
So that was a little bit of exceedingly abundantly above what we would ask or think. Amen? And we literally just lived that out. You know, I said Priscilla maybe didn't say that. She kind of said this a little bit. How does her mom get inside a house that's normally locked? In the middle of the night, she relaxes on the sofa, is not, you know, in the heat, laying in the grass, laying anywhere. And we looked, by the way, in the woods or the forest, as you said. We looked everywhere. And mom was real happy, real content, just enjoying her new home for an evening. And I'll leave you with a phrase tonight. Look at God. Look at God. Exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. So if we're going to be the church, let's pray to that God. We'll go to the last wrap up there, the application. Just go boom, right to it. Next one. Here it is, right? Here's our takeaway. We need humility to go to God. We can't do it. God can. We need to focus on the inside, get that strength from God. We need his enlightenment. We need his enablement. And we need to go to him every day because he's the only one that's going to fix us and everything else. He's the one who can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. So I want to close. Father God, thank you, God, that that's who you are. I pray, dear God, that you would deepen our understanding of the reality of who you are in our hearts, Lord, through the testimony of Priscilla, even through our own reflection as we reflect back, Lord, on how you have done things that we could not even imagine. And I ask, dear God, that you would just work in our hearts to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be reproducing followers of you who love you, who are growing, Lord, deeper so that we can go higher. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our minds. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.